It's MRCTV's public service announcement with Brittany Hughes and Eric Shiner.
Welcome to the MRCTV podcast. I'm Eric Shiner from MRCTV. Joining me, filling in for Brittany today, is the one and only Curtis Hoke from Newsbusters. And what's your official title over there now? Like demigod or
yeah,
overhead ruler?
Overlord, yeah. Managing editor.
Managing
supposedly.
Editor.
Yeah.
You have like crazy hours too. You're like all over the place.
Yeah, it's let's see. Yeah, I start and end my week normally. Then the middle 3 days of the week are just like a total mess. I do whatever I, you know, do
well,
whatever
I
want.
I see the big
late
vat of coffee right next to you, so you're in good shape.
Yes, I have a giant coffee. I usually go with the medium. Today I went with large, so
powered
and
up
it's,
for the
and
podcast.
It's not. Yeah, I was gonna say, and it's not because I have to be here with Eric here.
All right, Brittany has the time off, but you can catch up on any of the old MRCTV podcasts by tuning into iTunes, Google Play, and Spotify. You can catch up with us there. One of the main things that we are catching up with today is what's going on in the Senate Judiciary Committee hearing, and the media freaked out last night. Basically, MSNBC went out and said that Barr lied. Attorney General William Barr, he's now before the Senate Judiciary Committee, talking about the Mueller report. And this is all based out of a Washington Post article publishing mm-hmm. some excerpt. What can you tell us about this?
Yeah, so basically, after William Barr sent his four-page summary, released that to the public and to Congress, Robert Mueller sent him a letter saying that he had some issues with that letter. But actually, I should point out here that once that news happened once that broke around 7:15 last night, CNN and MSNBC just went almost wall to wall. If you wanted news about Venezuela, Rachel Maddow did a little bit on that. If you wanted some Obamacare, Medicare for all, socialized medicine
wait,
news,
wait a minute,
Chrissy's
hold on, we have
that
to take a break. You had to spend your whole evening watching all three of these.
Yes, I did.
I
yes
feel so bad for you.
See, and this is the problem with Fox News. You know, people want to rat about Fox News. I actually think when you turn on Fox News, it is actually a news channel. They cover multiple topics because these large networks, they employ a lot of people. So therefore, they can spread their resources out to cover multiple stories at once. I think it's really amazing.
That's amazing.
I know.
More people, like, more stories, except for certain.
Yeah, networks. CNN, MSNBC don't do that. They pour all those people into that. So I can't imagine being like a health reporter for CNN. Like your job is like no one
isn't
really.
Isn't that Sanjay Gupta?
Yeah, Sanjay Gupta.
Sanjay Gupta.
Or whoever writes for their website. You must like have just an awful job. You might go on television once in your career, but that's about that might be about it. But anyway, the media are making a huge deal of this letter saying they lie. There's some skullduggery going on here.
Hey, wait, skullduggery. That was the actual term by
Chris Matthews. Skullduggery.
He went kind of crazy last night.
Yes, it was very bad. You know, just yelling out indiscriminately. You know, that's when he's having a bad night.
It turns out that Mueller did follow those guidelines. He did not indict the president because under the guidelines, you're not supposed to indict him. That is the essential distortion.
But I want to read a key sentence that is like way at the bottom of this story. Quote, when Barr pressed him, as in Mueller, whether he thought Barr's letter was inaccurate, Mueller said he did not, but felt that the media coverage of the letter was misinterpreting the investigation.
Whoa! And I bet you Chris Matthews didn't pick up on that.
No, that
you
was
missed
not,
that part.
That was not on CNN.
Really, the media that's being inaccurate about the way this is being handled.
Because typically, yes, when you express concerns about something, and particularly when it comes to the law or journalism, it usually has to do with the facts. And that's what we do here at the MRC. We point out and correct liberal media bias and falsehoods. But as we saw here from this sentence, Robert Mueller didn't have a problem with the facts laid out in William Barr's letter. So why we're having this discussion, why, you know, it's DEFCON 1 over at CNN MSNBC this morning.
Yeah, and again, MSNBC is actually saying Barr lied.
The Attorney General of the United States, the most important law enforcement officer in the history of the world, has lied to the American people.
Right, they're saying he lied and that he should be, you know, impeached, which is, yeah, to get rid of a cabinet official. And you have Brian Williams and Wolf Blitzer on this morning.
Brian Williams, he knows about lying.
Yes, interrupting the hearing to talk about William Barr lying. And you had Wolf Blitzer yelling at Dick Durbin, of all people, trying to get him to say that William Barr is a liar, which I think is really interesting. And then this is the point that I said to my colleague Nick Fonacaro last night, my fellow night cohort, that if everything is a crisis for these people in the news media, nothing is. If everything is a light your hair on fire, wall-to-wall coverage saying, you know, wondering if this could be the end of the Trump administration, then nothing is. And that's what the American people have seen for 2 years now, and nothing's really changed. The president is still in office. There was no collusion. He's not going to be indicted on obstruction, even if, you know, you could make the argument that there was evidence, but he's a sitting president. So, you know, there's not really any there. But yet here we are, they're trying to keep going and try to save themselves from any further embarrassment when actually they're creating even more embarrassment for themselves.
Yeah, this, you know, we were wrong for 2 years and we kept saying, you know, they kept bringing on people like Adam Schiff saying that he's seen the evidence, it's there.
But look, you can see evidence in plain sight on the issue of collusion, pretty compelling evidence.
And now they're on to the no obstruction and arguing about whether or not Barr's interpretation summary of the Mueller report was accurate, whether or not he lied. I mean, it just keeps going, the burnout on this. For a lot of people, I have to say, the burnout, I mean, we're in D.C. and it's our job to deal with this all the time. But on social media, even some liberal friends I know, they are just burned out on this.
Right. I mean, you hear from 2020 presidential candidates and they freely admit that in town halls in the early primary states, they're getting asked questions about healthcare because it's a Democratic primary. They're asked questions about climate change, how the world's going to end in 10 years.
Is it 10? Is it 12? Depends on which Democrat you ask.
Yeah, exactly.
You ask on that one.
This thing keeps going on and on. Kirsten Gillibrand is now saying that she wants to give people a couple $100 for democracy money just to donate to whichever candidates they want to participate in our electoral process.
Okay, hold on. Let's mention that for a second. How stupid is it for the government to have government officials give people money to give to government officials?
I mean, it's just a kind of a feedback loop. It's just a gravy train, gerbil circle, you know, whatever. It's just so ridiculous. You know, I think at this point we should, if you're at one of these town halls on CNN, since no one's watching, just say something crazy. How about if the government did blank or whatever, and just say that this is something that people, you know, in the Democratic, you know, primary base or progressive should want to do, and they'll be like, oh yeah, they should totally do it. At this point, they're so gullible because they're looking to please their base. You should just start throwing stuff out there. But my point is that I think, you know, Democratic primary voters, as you pointed out with your friends, and I know it as well, people that I know in the area that are liberal, they're just tired of this. They don't, you know, I mean, they think Trump's guilty, he should be impeached, whatever, but they're not, you know, they're not like people on cable news actively trying to move the ball down the field because they know that's not going to happen. They saw what happened in the 1990s, but I realized that CNN, MSNBC at this point, they're like a bunch of schoolgirls at a One Direction concert or like at Taylor Swift. They're just like constantly screaming and like, you know, Chris Matthews raising his hands up and shaking them.
They get Maxine Waters on. Screaming. She screams.
Yeah. You know, it's just the, you know, unfortunately, there's no Steve Schmidt. You know, you've got Nicole Wallace and boyfriend Michael Schmidt from the New York Times. It's just this oh my gosh, it just keeps going and going and going. And yet, as we see with the ratings, you know, that's one way to quantify how people are, you know, burned out by this. CNN is struggling.
Yeah, and we'll talk about that in a second, but you mentioned the New York Times. It's interesting. The New York Times did a similar article to the Washington Post.
Mm-hmm.
But the New York Times left out that part about
imagine that.
About the media.
Imagine that. It came after the Washington Post story was published. So isn't that interesting?
Very interesting. Now, you mentioned things are tough for CNN. This is there was an article on Forbes. It had the latest cable news ratings. And the headline is CNN drops 26% in prime time as Fox News dominates April cable ratings. Oh.
Is there any other way to just put that? Like, how ridiculous it is. So on Monday night,
This is what's happening because of the Russia obsession.
It is.
People are burnt out. There are viewers at airports stuck in gates worldwide. CNN viewers, they're bored of this.
Doctors' offices, they're not interested.
Dentists, they're changing the channel in their lobby.
Yeah, I should point out here that I have to give a hat tip to @RoadMNMinnesota. He does these wonderful, colorful charts every single day. I don't know how he does it, but he found out for Monday. He does this every day. For Monday, Fox News and Prime, the audience share from 6 a.m. to midnight. So all day when there's live coverage, Fox had 48% of the market share for cable news, where CNN only had 17.8%, which is I'm not particularly good at math, Eric, but that's not good.
Well, here among viewers 25 to 54, that's a very coveted demographic by advertisers. CNN averaged 198,000 viewers in the demo. Now, we work from RCTV. I can say many of our videos that we put on Facebook get more viewers than CNN in that demo. And their highest rated show, which is Cuomo Primetime, finished 26th place.
Which is just so ridiculous. You know, you're looking at it here from April 2018 to April 2019. They've lost 26% in primetime, 25% in daytime views, 41% in the primetime demo, 25 to 54, and 37% in the total day demo, 25 to 54, which is their lowest demo going back to August 2015.
Wow.
I mean, the numbers just don't lie. You know, CNN, sometimes their PR account, which must be run by Brian Stelter, will clap back at a few people from time to time saying, you know, I think they went after them for one of their town halls, how poorly the ratings were. And they were basically trying to say that, well, it's not really about the ratings. It's about informing the public. You know, and allowing voters to make a choice.
They care about informing the public.
It's really hard to do that, Eric, when, you know, a couple hundred thousand people are watching while millions are watching Fox News and a million are watching MSNBC. It's kind of hard to do that.
Well, you got
to
give credit. I'll give a little credit over on the Democratic side to the Bernie Sanders campaign. He went over to Fox and did it.
Right, exactly. Yeah, no.
I mean, he took some tough questions.
He didn't get eaten alive, which is the point. You know, you listen to Brian Stelter, you think Fox News is Russia Today Light or something, you know, or Sputnik. And yet Bernie Sanders went over there. Martha McCallum, Bret Baier, they were tough. There was a fun exchange talking about him being a millionaire and a little bit of hypocrisy on his part with that. He's basically like, what's the problem when 30 years ago, you know, and through to the present, he's talked about how being a millionaire is immoral.
One of his toughest things is decide, you know, which house he wants to tweet about the poor from.
Mm.
You know, tweet against the 1%. Which house should I Twitter from?
Yes, I was going to say.
Since the 1%.
The 1%, you know, with his Vermont. You know, Washington Post had a fun story, at least yesterday or the day before, talking about how they tried to implement socialized medicine in tiny little Vermont and it didn't work. Spoiler alert. It led to a Republican being elected not once but twice now as governor, and is one of the most popular governors in the country. So even when the people who love Bernie Sanders and think socialism is great, when they've tried to implement it themselves, mistakes were made.
Well, and you mentioned, you know, how they, CNN and others just pretty much ignored what's going on in Venezuela in order to talk about this Barr phone call source. Funny how that leaks out right before he testifies. Kind of strange.
Yeah.
That happening right before his testimony in the Senate, this information leaks out. But you want to know what's happening with socialism. Just look at what's happening in Venezuela right now. Unbelievable.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Or look at CNN's ratings and you see what happens. People don't want socialism. They don't like those views on television. But in Venezuela, it's stunning. But yet you have people like Jim Sciutta, who's a CNN anchor and former Obama administration official, go on and on about how this thing is a coup, basically saying that there's no good actors, that the side supported by Juan Guaido, you know, the United States and over 50 normal, decent countries who recognizes him as the legitimate president are participating in a coup. And then he said, you know, the Maduro administration is backed by Russia.
And Cuba
and China.
Now, those are the ones you want to align yourself
with. So this is like the opposite of Donald Trump's like very fine people thing. This is like there are not fine people on both sides. This is it's pretty ridiculous how you're seeing this kind of play out. But, you know, as Secretary Pompeo said yesterday on CNN, for some reason he went on CNN, he said that
well, he's like Bernie. He's daring to go to the side.
Maduro woke up apparently yesterday and was ready to leave. He was going to flee to Havana.
Yeah, the plane was on the tarmac and it was fuel. But of course, both Russia and Maduro are now denying.
They got on the phone and were like, apparently, no, you got to stay. And the news this morning, NBC News is reporting that Maduro is now being protected by Cuban soldiers because he doesn't trust his own army anymore.
Cuba, now that's the country that Obama, you know, took some sanctions off of and allow Americans to visit.
Yeah, NBC News, Andrea Mitchell and Brian Williams went down there. They had a good time.
On one of my past visits to Cuba, Fidel Castro took me on a tour of their medical school, the School of Latin America, where they train doctors who then deploy throughout Latin America, providing free medical care. Different day, different hairstyles, but anyway, I'll be heading back to Havana this weekend.
Yeah, they're
party, but of course now all those sanctions are coming back.
Yeah, and the sanctions are coming back, and Americans aren't going because they're being hit with some sonic like attack or whatever, and you know, messing up their hearing. You know, American diplomats over there. But I thought Cuba was this oasis.
I thought it was just people playing Yoko Ono records down there because they haven't gotten
smoking a cigar. Yeah,
you know, the Yoko
Ono records, old car,
kind of a sonic bombardment.
Yeah, exactly. Going to empty grocery stores. I don't know. It's it's kind of ridiculous. The president has said that he's willing to put everything back on, basically go back to the way things were as of a few years ago.
It looks like it's going to go that way.
Exactly. So again, so the news media are going to have a problem on their hands. They're going to, you know, they've got to like run back to defend their friends in Cuba. They've got to go make their vacations to Cuba with their guides, government tracker people showing them around. You also have, the bar situation. And yesterday we had a fatal shooting, multiple people killed at the University of North Carolina, Charlotte. So if you wanted news on that on CNN or MSNBC, sorry, you know, MSNBC doesn't have a bottom crawl anymore, so they don't even have that anymore. So when it comes to news, again, these people are not a serious news organization. In terms of news, you don't get news.
Well, let's look at the poll conducted by Rasmussen. Basically, Rasmussen concluded that voters see journalists as political activists, not as a source of information.
That came out
this week.
Yeah, I know.
42% saw national poll political news coverage as inaccurate and unreliable. Only 26% thought that political reporters carefully report facts. 57% of respondents thought that political reporters, quote, use news stories to promote their own ideological agenda.
Isn't that interesting? So the problem is, in journalism, we want to try to answer the who, what, where, when, why, and how. You know, with polls like this, it shows that it's just becoming increasingly difficult to do that. You know, it's brought this Rasmussen poll. Scott Rasmussen did this poll for Sharon Atkison's show on Evil Sinclair on Evil Sinclair stations that people are pointing out. Only 26%. Thought that they were reliable.
57% say reporters use news stories to promote their own ideological agenda. Pollster Scott Rasmussen.
We asked about national political reporters. You know, are they credible? Are they reliable? And, you know, a little more than one out of three people say yes. When we ask about Wikipedia, we get the exact same answer. So what's happening is we have a world where people look at journalists like they look at Wikipedia. Gee, that's an interesting fact. I better check it myself.
And so, you know, you obviously try to think like, okay, so maybe, you know, this is a recent phenomenon, or you've only woken up to this since the 2016 election, maybe with Donald Trump. Maybe you were just kind of not really interested, or you were a socialist and now you're just listening and joining us here on the other side. This poll found that it's been pretty bad for a long time. 52% said political coverage is worse compared to 5 years ago. And he pointed out that, yes, people have had biased complaints about the news media dating back to the 1960s, specifically with the Vietnam War. And we've been pointing that out. CBS loves to tout Morley Safer and these other journalists, you know, trying to make American soldiers out to be
Horrible people.
Yeah, I was going to say the opposite of, you know, the global force for good. So, this is a problem that's been going back a long time. And that's why the Media Research Center has been around for over three decades now.
Yeah, well, and they're going to keep burying themselves by continuing to harp on the Mueller report and try to make something. There's just no there there.
Right. Or Jake Tapper. Yeah, I was going to say you have Jake Tapper or Chuck Todd. When media bias is brought up, they say, they tell guests like Jake told Kellyanne on Sunday that this is beneath you to raise concerns about media bias. And Chuck Todd doesn't like that either. He thinks it's a cop out. Well, no. When, you know, over 90% of a coverage of one person is negative, you know, or coverage on your cable channel is a big fat zero for a shooting at a major university, or and it's measured in minutes on Venezuela in prime time, it's really hard to say that it's a cop-out for media bias when people are not getting a full perspective and they're not even getting a full digest of stories, you know, to consume. And that goes back to their mission about who, what are you as a news organization? Are you a news organization or are you a Democratic liberal PR
firm? Well, let's talk about something that the media has loved in recent weeks, and that is the announcement by Joe Biden, Mr. Aviators himself.
Yes.
And we can start off, you know, you mentioned the Charlottesville quote that Biden decided he was going to mention. And of course, he frames it. Yeah, nothing like the guy who says we need morality back in America coming out and opening up his campaign with a video where he, let's say, misconstrues or perpetuates a myth about what President Trump said.
Yeah,
about there being some fine people. He was distinctly not talking about the neo-Nazis. Again, Biden didn't say he was, but he kind of alluded to it.
Yeah,
what was
weird.
Going on? But yeah, you know, nothing like a guy who's plagiarized and said, you know, he fully understands the one child policy of China to the Chinese university back in 2011. Yeah, that's the morals. But they love them. They love them. In fact, Mika Brzezinski from Morning Joe yesterday totally like flipped out because, you know, people are questioning Joe on his groping love.
Yeah, get over it. She had this. I mean, she just raged. She went on a bender here. It was, quote, the amount of time that was spent on Biden's hugs. This is a guy who has hugged 5 to 10 million people.
And 10 million people hugged by Joe. What? Wow, that's a club.
Yeah, that's a club. I've not been hugged by Joe Biden.
The hugged by Biden club.
I don't know.
There's 5 million people in that? Five to 10 million?
She says people love the fact that he's touchy and huggy and they run to him. And five women are uncomfortable with the way they hugged him.
So only one out of a million people are uncomfortable with, according to that math. If only five women out of five million. I'll go on the low end. She said 5 to 10 million.
You know, I really think sometimes we got to get out of New York, get out of Washington, get out of the big cities, and think about what the questions are you want to ask a major candidate in terms of their candidacy for president. The amount of time that was spent on Biden's hugs. This is a guy who has hugged 5 to 10 million people, and they love the fact that he's touchy and huggy, and they run to him.
So it's one out of a million people are uncomfortable with Joe Biden.
Yeah.
According to her math.
Yeah, that's, you know, therefore we shouldn't talk about it, you know. Goodbye. Everyone else is trying to smear this good man. So my colleague Jeffrey Dickens at Newsbusters took a look at his announcement coverage. The networks gave 47 minutes in that first stretch there, set of newscasts. But they buried these questions about they, you know, kind of sort of ignored that. And you had Chris Matthews comparing Biden's campaign video launch, which you were just
Mandela.
To Nelson Mandela. So a guy who factually got something incorrect. You know, as you pointed out, his video was not exactly correct. You know, he said he came out. He said Biden made a similar appeal and similar critique.
Our vision of South Africa, therefore, has been one where you have a Bill of Rights which entrenches the right of every South African, irrespective of color.
Well, today, Joe Biden made a similar appeal and a similar critique. He spoke of a president who refuses to condemn outright racism, who sees people who back racial separation in this country, American apartheid, if you will, as very fair-minded. Well, 25 years later, the message today is powerfully similar to the message from 1994. It seems that to fight off evil, we must constantly call it out for what it is.
I mean, that's just that was one of those moments where you're watching Hardball and you just stop yourself and you're like, you got to rewind back that we're able to do and be like, oh yeah, he totally said that. Yeah,
one thing I can't get enough of is Chris Matthews saying skullduggery. That is
skullduggery. Yeah,
skullduggery. That's the word. We're going to keep up with what's going on with Barr. We're going to have to see what the reaction is. Obviously, Lindsey Graham today is going to focus on the Clinton end of the investigation with the Peter Strzok and Lisa Page text to each other in the FBI and whole
star-crossed lovers
of the FISA warrants. Based off of the Christopher Steele dossier. We'll have to keep in touch. We are out of time, but I thank you for keeping us up on the media. Curtis Hook, thank you for joining us today.
No problem.
All right, everybody. We'll be back again with more of MRC TV's podcast next week. Until then, I'm Eric Schiner, and Brittany will be back next week, too. Talk to you then.